Our Bible study this evening comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 20 through 23. And this is what it says. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. We have come to the conclusion of the letter to the Philippians tonight. So how does Paul conclude this letter? He concludes with a doxology in verse 20, greetings in verses 21 and 22, and a benediction in verse 23. The letter ends on a note of encouragement for the saints. So I am going to call this message tonight, Encouragement for the Saints. Where do the saints find encouragement? First of all, we have to define who the saints are. Who are the saints? The Roman Catholic Church has given us a distorted view of the saints. According to the Roman Catholic Church, in order to get to be a saint, you have to perform some extraordinary acts. You have to make some spectacular achievements in your life. Your deeds have to reach a certain level of distinction. It is kind of like getting into the Football Hall of Fame or the Baseball Hall of Fame. All NFL football players don't get into the Football Hall of Fame. Only the elite ones. All baseball players don't get into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Only the elite ones. According to the Roman Catholic Church, all Christians are not saints. Only the elite ones are. But that is a misnomer. The Bible does not teach that only the elite Christians are saints. The Bible teaches that all Christians are saints. The word saint literally means set apart. Saints are the set apart ones. Saints are set apart by God for God. Election, calling, justification is the divine side of it, and faith is the human side of it. All those who are justified by faith in Jesus Christ are saints. We are made saints by the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It is not what we do that makes us saints. It is what Christ has done for us that makes us saints. That's why the verse says, saints in Christ Jesus. The word saint is used over 50 times in the New Testament for the people of God, for Christians. It is one of the prevalent names for Christians in the New Testament. So the saints are simply Christians. All Christians are saints. Where do the saints get encouragement? First of all, the saints get encouragement from worship of the true God. Verse 20 says, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Who do you think Paul is referring to in that verse when he says God? There was a time in our country when people said God, you understood that they were talking about Yahweh or Jehovah, the God of Abraham and Moses and David and Israel, who is the only, the one and only true God, the triune God, who has revealed Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today, when people say God, they may be talking about Allah, or Zeus, or Apollo, or Jupiter, any number of pagan gods. Or they may even be talking about some God who is a figment of their own imagination. There is no doubt who Paul was talking about when he said, "Our God and Father." Just go back to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, where Paul is talking about the humiliation and exaltation of Jesus. Paul is talking about God, the Almighty, the Creator of the universe, the Sovereign Ruler of the universe, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is co-equal and co-eternal with Him and with the Holy Spirit, the one and only true and living God. God is our Father. That is, He is the Father of the saints in Christ Jesus. That is a relationship that all people do not have with God. He is the Creator of all people, but He is not the Father of all people. He is the Father of only those who have been made saints in Christ Jesus. Only those who have been reconciled to Him by Jesus Christ can call Him our Father. Only those who have embraced Jesus Christ by faith, who love Jesus Christ and who have embraced Him by faith, can call God our Father. That is an intimate relationship. And the ones who have embraced Jesus Christ by faith will worship God, saying, "To Him be glory forever and ever." That is the proper response to revealed truth about God. We know that He is glorious, and we want Him to be glorified in all the earth. All people do not worship God in this way because they hate Him and they are in rebellion against Him. They hate Him because He is the Sovereign One to whom everyone is accountable, and they do not want to be accountable to anyone, even their own Creator, because they want to do what they want to do and they do not want to submit to a Sovereign God. It is the joy of the saints to submit to the Sovereign God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the joy of the saints to worship God, to give Him glory, and to join with them, the other saints, in worship of God our Father. The saints are encouraged by worship of the true God. Secondly, the saints get encouragement from communion with other saints. Verse 21 and 22 says, "Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household." That word "greet" means to joyfully receive, to welcome, to wish well to. There is a communion of the saints in Christ Jesus all over the world. And this communion is a communion of brotherly love. All of the saints in Christ Jesus have in common this relationship to Jesus Christ that makes them true brothers and sisters who have each other's best interest at heart. There was a communion between the saints at Rome and the saints at Philippi. It is not always the case, but there should be a relationship of genuine brotherly love among all Christians everywhere. When Paul says, "Greet every saint in Christ Jesus," this is not your shallow, superficial, "Hey, how are you doing?" This is an expression of genuine affection, genuine concern, and genuine aspiration for each other's well-being in Christ. When that really is manifested among Christians, it is encouraging. Thirdly, the saints get encouragement from the power of the gospel. Verse 22 says, "All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household." Do you realize what that means, especially those of Caesar's household? It means that there were Christians within Caesar's very household. How in the world did that happen? The gospel penetrated into the very household of the most powerful ruler in the world at that time, the household of Nero, the emperor of the great Roman Empire, was infiltrated by the gospel, which is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. Now, the household of Caesar would not be just his wife and children like we might think of it. It would include kitchen workers and groundskeepers and stable hands and soldiers who guarded the emperor's compound and government staff workers, among others. The gospel invaded the household of Caesar. How did it do that? How did it happen? The Apostle Paul was in custody of Rome, in prison in Rome, and he was guarded by the imperial guard. Let me remind you of Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. In the first chapter of this letter, Paul is explaining to the Philippians his current situation. He is writing to them from Rome, and he says, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Paul was guarded by the imperial guard and probably chained to a soldier. If he was chained to a soldier, they probably changed soldiers after every so many hours. At every shift change, he would be changed to a different soldier. You can be sure that every soldier that Paul was chained to heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's all it takes. The Holy Spirit takes the message of the gospel and transforms the hearers of it, and they become Christians. They became saints in Caesar's household. Nero, who was an enemy of Christ, could not keep Christ out of his own household. We should pray that that would happen in our government, in the halls of power in our United States of America. So Paul is saying to the church at Philippi, "I want you to be encouraged by the power of the gospel. I am in chains, but the gospel is not in chains. The gospel is powerful, and it is at work in the halls of power." That is encouraging. And there's one more thing here. The saints get encouragement from the sustaining grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 23 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Grace is God's unmerited favor bestowed upon sinners who deserve His wrath to save sinners from His wrath. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." Notice this is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord means sovereign ruler. Jesus is the name given to the child of Mary by the angel Gabriel. Luke chapter 1, 26 through 31 says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus.'" The name Jesus in the Greek is equivalent to the name Joshua in the Hebrew. It means Jehovah is salvation. This child of Mary, who was named Jehovah is salvation, became the Savior and brought to men the salvation of Jehovah. Christ is a title. It means the Anointed One. It is the equivalent of the Hebrew word Messiah. The Gospel is contained in concentrated form in that phrase, Lord Jesus Christ. He is Christ, the Anointed One who was promised in ages past to come and bring salvation. He is Jesus, Jehovah saves, who brought to men the salvation of Jehovah. He is the Lord, the sovereign, omnipotent One who is able to save sinners to the uttermost. And He has grace to give. He has saving grace to save undeserving sinners from God's wrath. But He also has sustaining grace. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness.' So then, grace is a power from God to our spirits that enables us to endure suffering. Therefore, be encouraged by worshiping our God and Father. Be encouraged by communion with other saints. Be encouraged by the power of the gospel to save even in the halls of power of the opposition. Be encouraged by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen." Let us pray. O Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, to You be glory forever and forever. We thank You for the communion of the saints. May more of it be manifested among us. We thank You for the power of the gospel to save and transform sinners in the unlikeliest of places. We thank You for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that You would sustain us by it. In Jesus' name, amen.